You are everything that we need. Everything that we need is in you, Lord God. So, Father God, help us right now to have hearts that are wide open. Wide open to that truth that you are here and you are all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Peter, that's one of my all-time favorite songs. And I'm usually singing it at the top of my lungs when the house is empty. So I was unsure if I'd become undone there and wouldn't be able to get up here and share the word of God, but thankfully God is good. So good morning. It's great to be back with you again in church. I hope you've all had a spirit-soaked Salah summer. I know that I've enjoyed taking that Salah rest, but it's wonderful to be back with you all. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time for me. It's an exciting time for the leadership here at Mossvale Community Church as we get ready to start a brand new season. Did you know that? Did you know that we're about to start a brand new season here at Mossvale? Many of our ministries, as we've heard already this morning, are about to return and we cannot wait. We have a brand new sermon series that is coming soon. You'll hear all about that very soon. We have a variety of amazing events, again, that we've just heard about in the notices. And we also have Advent. Pastor Hugh, it is indeed leading into Christmas. How many days? 133 days. He reminded me this morning in the prayer meeting. So this next season at Mossvale is a very busy season for an ever-growing church. And we are very excited, and I hope that you are too. You should be. I like to think that I am a woman of vision. And I like to hope that we are a church filled with people of vision. I begin to seek God for vision at the end of one year as we approach the beginning of a new year. I ask the Lord for fresh eyes to see, for a word in season, a motto, scripture. And I ask him for that vision for myself, for the work that I'm involved in, and for this church. And I know that the leaders also do the same. I know what you're thinking right now. Why is she talking about vision in August? As it is something that we normally talk about at the beginning of a new year. And if you were here on the first day of the year, on New Year's Day, this year, 2023, you'll have heard me speak on this very subject, on vision. And how God leads us as a people with vision. And I spoke about the fact that God has called us as a set apart people to live the unhindered life. That was a word of vision that God gave me for this church. That we would be a people completely sold out for Jesus, focused on Jesus. That we would get on our running shoes and that we would continue to run the race that has been set before. Is it coming back to you now? That we are running the unhindered race. That we are, as a people, are to be focused on Jesus, the perfecter and pioneer of our faith, and that we are not going to let anything hinder us or hold us back. That we would run in such a way, church, that we would encourage our fellow runners. So that if we see a fellow runner that has tripped and fallen, that we're going to be there, aren't we? We're going to be there to pick them back up again. In church, we will fall. We will stumble and trip at times. The aim is not to stay down. It's to get back up again. So I hope that's all coming back to you now. The aim is to remove the hindrances, the sin that so easily entangles, and that we are to continue to run our race. So why am I bringing this up again in August? Well, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when we're running, and many of us here have been running a long time, haven't we? We've been running this race of faith a long time. And sometimes, church, you get tired. And sometimes you get weary. And sometimes you may trip and stumble and fall, like I've said. And there are times where we forget why it is we are running in the first place. You've been running for so long. You've picked yourself up so many times, or should I say God has picked you up so many times. He's not forgotten you. But sometimes we forget why it is we are running in the first place. Church, this is why it's so very important that we take the Solares. It's why it's important as leaders that we take a break over the summer so that we can hit the recess button, so that we can pause and reflect and ponder. It's so important that we look back at the vision. Now, we're not saying live in the past, no. We're talking about just looking at the vision to remind ourselves of the promise, to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Lord. David did that. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And it's at this particular time during summer that I do this. The Pastor Hugh does this. We take that Selah rest and we ponder and we reflect. It's a time to look back at the start of the year, to ask a few questions of ourselves. So for instance, this year, if you're mindful of that vision, I asked myself a few questions. Am I running well? Am I still focused? Have I got distracted? What has hindered me? And how can I get rid of it? What has hindered me? And how can I get rid of it? The race is mentioned in several places in the New Testament, in particular in Hebrews chapter 12, women to women, ladies, you know this. This happens to be the motto text scripture for women to women this year. Let me remind you of it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. There's the race again. What does the writer of Hebrews say about the race? Well, he or she reminds us to keep on running. To keep on running and to run with perseverance. To keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Are we doing that? Or have we got distracted? Have you got sidetracked? What has caused you to slow down? What has caused you to stumble and trip? It also tells us in the passage what we need to do. It says, throw off everything. That means there's more than one thing, sadly. Throw off everything that would distract you, that would delay you, that would hold you back. Get rid of it. Can I read it to you in the message? I like this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. And we have been studying the exhilarating finish, as Pastor has just led us beautifully, in a whole series of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and, importantly, eternity. Living with an eternal perspective. So what is it? It doesn't just say throw it off, though, in the message. It says strip down. Now, runners today, any runners in the house? I know there's a few. Yeah, over in that. Yeah, a few runners in the house. I don't know why I put my hand up. I'm not a runner. I just did that to encourage you to put your hand up if you're a runner. So, runners today, you'll see, will run with very little clothing on, light clothing on. Male runners sometimes even shave their legs because they don't even want a strand of hair to hold them back. And in ancient times, runners would actually run naked because they didn't want to have anything hold them back or hamper their race. The principle for us, church, is not to start stripping off, okay? Please hear me now, Pastor. I did not say that. I have not given you license to do that. If you've picked that up, you're hearing incorrectly. No, the principle for us as Christians is to strip off anything, any sinful thing, but also anything. That's any encumbrance that would hinder our walk or what we're saying today, our run with God. So it's not just letting go of sinful things. It's anything that would hinder the race or slow you down. So as I've said, I like to use this time of summer to hit the recess button, to reevaluate, to remind myself of vision, to ask myself, am I still in the right lane? Because sometimes, as I've said, we get distracted, we lose our way, and we forget why we're running in the first place. Pastor, this summer has spoke already about the things that sometimes become our focus when Jesus is to be our focus. He referred to them at the beginning of summer, in fact, at the end of June, he referred to them as idols. Again, when we looked at living with a heavenly perspective. And again, that's when we lose sight, church. When we lose sight of why we're running. When we fail to have the finish line in sight. When we fail to have that heavenly perspective, we lose our way. We lose sight of what's important. When other things, good things, not just sinful things, but when other things sometimes get in the way. Our housework, our families, our jobs, our hobbies. Our ministries, Pastor mentioned that too, when our ministries have the potential to become our idols. And when this happens, church, we lose sight of why it is we're running. We get sidetracked, we become consumed by other things, even good things. But church, what it does is it slows us down and we sometimes become weary. This is when we're doing because we have to, rather than because we want to. Ever felt like that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I wonder if we've ever felt that way. We've got up on a Sunday morning and we've went, oh, church. Why are you looking at Ayla? Oh, I'm on Kids Connection. Oh, I need to be in early because I have to go to band practice. Oh, I need to go to that meeting after the service. Women to women, ladies, there's a meeting after the service today. I would rather sit and have a cup of coffee. Ever felt that way? Just feel heavy. Listen, we have all felt this way. I've felt this way. Even the joy man himself, I'm sure there's been times where he's felt this way. I'm sure there is. When we just feel that overwhelming sense of, oh, we're only human. We're only human. Now, I'm not saying it's right, okay? I don't think it is right. But it is a sign. It is a trigger that something's not quite right. It is a sign or a trigger that you're perhaps doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Perhaps God's got something else for you. Something bigger. Perhaps it's a sign that you're tired or that you're weary. So for the remainder of today, I really want us to look at today's message. I know what you're thinking, that's quite a lengthy introduction. Yes, you're right. But today's title is this, Living with Passion. Everyone say passion. Passion. You want to say it like you're passionate. Passion. Passion. So, passion. Let me ask you a question. Ponder this question. Have I lost my passion? Did you feel that way, this morning when you get out of bed? If But you see, you started your race well. You were running good. What robbed you of your passion? What cut in you? What held you back? What has robbed you of your fire? So before we start getting all excited, I am not talking about romantic passion today. No, today we are talking about holy passion. That's even greater than the passion you just spoke out. So let's say holy passion. Okay, I think we need to work on that, Pastor Hugh. Holy passion. Holy passion is when we have an excitement and enthusiasm for the things of God, that you have made Him Lord of your life. Have you made Him the Lord of your life? Can I encourage you to do that if you haven't done that? It's when He has your heart. It's when He, and we sung that, have my heart. When He has your heart's desires. When He has your heart's intentions. When your desire is to pursue Him above everything. That is a holy passion. Let's read what Paul says about holy passion. Romans 12. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with sadness. No, let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Just look at how he describes a passion-filled believer. Someone who is burning hot. Someone who is on fire for Jesus. Someone that is filled with the excitement of holy passion. Now I've got to be honest. There are times where even I don't have that passion. And please don't be offended. But there are times, like right now, where I look out of all of you, and you don't seem that excited. Forgive me for saying it. It's not a criticism, but there are many reasons why this might happen. I've said one already, we're only human. But running the race of faith is not an easy one. If you're here today and you're a new Christian or you're considering becoming a Christian and someone has told you it is a walk in the park, then they lied to you. The walk of faith is not like walking in a park on a summer's day. There will be many summer's days, but there will be many difficult days always, not always, sometimes, but always God is with us. Amen? People along the way will disappoint you. Fellow runners will say things to you and try and put you off your race. Fellow runners will even cut in at you at times. There'll be times where some laps will take longer than others and there'll be other days where you will ache body, soul and mind. But let me encourage you that this race that God has called us to run and persevere in is far greater than the slog that is out there. And you have a prize awaiting you at the end, a crown, if you persevere. Now, none of us want to get derailed. That's definitely not our intention. But in order to run this race successfully, we need to heed God's call for our life, which is to fix our eyes on Jesus, who has already run his race and run our race in front of us. And he's saying, come on, follow me. But as we run, church, we need to be aware that the enemy will do his utmost to hinder you, and he will do that by trying to drain you of your passion. He knows that if he steals the very fuel that keeps you going, the very fire that's in your belly, he knows that you might just drop your baton. Or you may just drop out of the race completely. So we need to make sure that we are aware of the attempts of the enemy to hold us back. And we need to keep running regardless of how many times he comes at us. We need to remind ourselves of the reason why we're running and for the fire that is in our belly, the holy passion and fire for God. So has the enemy had a good go at trying to steal your fuel? Have your circumstances overtaken your passion? You know, there are many reasons why this can happen. There's many things that could hinder us. The Bible encourages us, church, though, in many different places to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and be on alert to the things that may dampen our passion. Let me share a personal story with you. I am a very passionate person. I am incredibly passionate about the things of God. I am passionate about the work that I do. I am passionate about all of you. I am passionate about Jesus. However, I have discovered that one of the passion killers for me personally, and it's weariness. It's tiredness. And before we took our Salah rest, there was a time like me and many of the other leaders in here, I'm sure, were starting to feel a little bit weary. I don't mind admitting it. But when I feel this way, I'm very conscious of it. Because I don't want anything to take away my zeal. The Bible says zeal is another word for passion, and it's a great energy. It's a great enthusiasm for Christ. We don't want anything to take that from His church. Says in Titus that as Christians, we are to continually to be zealous. So you'll know yourself what the passion killers are for you. For me, it's tiredness, it's weariness. For others, it could be your circumstances, could be family issues, financial strains, health issues, failure. The fact that there's been unmet expectations that's just drawing you back. Something that we need to be aware of. So when I feel like this, when I feel weary, I need to do what Jesus says. He says, come to me. Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. He invites you to come. He's saying, if you feel tired, if you feel weary, if you burn out, come to me. I'm the one that can supply you with that rest. Church, when our body and our mind feels this way, we must take rest. Did you hear that? We must. In this fast-paced, social media-driven world in which we live in today, we can become so very quickly depleted of our fuel. We can. It can go in an instant. I mean, just think of the mind. When I think of my mind, my goodness. When I think of all the thoughts in here, all the battles that go on in here, the concerns that you have, the worries that you have, I mean, that's exhausting in itself, is it not? Just dealing with our minds today, it's so important that we guard our minds. So we need to find true rest. We need to take a Sabbath rest. That means we rest in the Lord's presence. It means you come away and you spend time in His presence. Now that might mean for some of you that you need more sleep. Might be as simple as that you need to sleep. For others, it might be that you've just got to bask in His presence. We need to be aware that tiredness and weariness is killing our passion. We must take a Salah rest. You know, I once knew a pastor and he never took a holiday. And the congregation would say, Pastor is so committed. He's not had a holiday for 4 years. Isn't it he or she wonderful? And they would say it like it was a compliment. But I don't know about you, church. You might not agree with me, but I don't see this as a compliment. And I don't think this is heroic. Number one, I tell you what this is. This is pride. When a leader believes that they are too important to take a holiday, or they're inferior to allowing someone else to take over the reins, that's not good leadership, and it's not a healthy mindset that you are so busy that you cannot delegate. Now, here at Mossvale Community Church, you won't see that attitude. We don't have that attitude here. We recognize that good leaders are leaders that can delegate to their teams and to their ministries, that we can hand over. We're not inferior or in competition with each other. We acknowledge that we get the best out of our leaders if we encourage them and that they have a rest and that they take a rest And that when we see a brother or a sister has tripped or fallen, that we allow them to take the break. To rest in the Lord's arms. To be restored. Because we don't want a church, do we, filled with burnt out leaders that have lost their fire and their passion for Jesus. We want our leaders and our ministry leaders to be burning hot for Jesus, excited and enthusiastic. That's what we want here. That's what we have here. It's the Lord's desire that we have a people that are so hot for Jesus, so enthusiastic, so excited about serving the Lord with passion and zeal. We want the doors of this church to be swung wide open and people from the streets to come in and go, come on here, hang about with these people. They are completely on fire for Jesus. Jesus is their focus. Jesus is why they sing. Jesus is why they dance. I want to sit here in this church under the teaching of these Holy Spirit fired up preachers that are filled with passion and excitement and enthusiasm for building the kingdom of God. Because, by the way, this is what Jesus looks like. Jesus is passionate. I've not got time to talk about the passion of Christ, but let's just look at a couple of things that Jesus is actually passionate about. We heard it so beautifully last week in the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is passionate about people. Did you catch that last week? He is passionate about people, all kinds of people. Scripture said that he hung out with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. I spend a bit of time with the tax collector myself. He said that it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. He hung around with the sick. He hung around with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sinners. He wasn't interested in about being righteous. The righteous leaders criticized them for doing it. But he did not care because he cared. He was passionate about the people. He was passionate about caring for the people. That's another thing he was passionate about. He was passionate about the poor and the needy. And again, he wants us, church, to uphold the cause of the poor and the needy. He wants us to pick up those that have fallen down. He doesn't want us to cross the street as we heard last week. He wants us to passionately care for the people, for the poor, for the needy. What else was he passionate about? He was passionate about sharing the gospel truth. Oh, is he so passionate about sharing the gospel truth? He didn't dilute it. He didn't shy away from it. He didn't bend it so that he could people please. No, he shared it passionately in faith, in truth, and in love. And as pastors and as leaders and as speakers, we are called to do the same. You, as disciples, are called to do the same. Passionately share the truth. And I could go on and on and on. He was passionate about prayer. He was passionate about worship. He was passionate about us coming together to break bread. We heard on Wednesday, Jesus is passionate about unity. So passionate about it that he wants to bless it. These are the things that Jesus was and is passionate about. And in order to be a passion-filled, holy passion-filled church, we need to get passionate about the things that Jesus is passionate about. So church, is that us? The Lord is prompting us to check our passion levels today. Today's been a review. Are we running our race? Have we got our trainers on? Why are we running? Have you forgot why you're running? Let's remind ourselves today, church, why we're running. Let's get our shoes on, our running shoes on again, and let's go again. You know, perhaps you're doing too much. Maybe you do need to take a rest. Maybe you're doing what you shouldn't be doing. And God's saying, I've got something better for you. Don't hold yourself back because of feelings of failure or inadequacy. Who God calls, he will equip. And don't let pride set in if you do need to take a rest. Perhaps he's calling you to rest in his arms because he has great things that he wants to share with you. And stop trying to control everything. This is something that I need to remind myself of regularly. Don't try to control everything, Debbie. Don't try to control the things that you're quite literally not in control of anyway. It's God that's in control. So let's become a church that does not grow weary in doing good. Because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. Let's strip down and let's cast off everything and anything that would hold us back and hinder us, whatever that may be. Today we've only talked about weariness. Let me read a quote to you from Christine Kane. She says this, "Once we have discovered the secret of seeing those potential passion slayers as nothing more than God's opportunity to defeat the enemy and complete his good work, then we will be compelled to run all the harder." Church, the Holy Spirit of God is saying we in this new season are going to be running all the harder. Are you ready to run? Let's not stop. Let's not let anything hold us back. Let's not get distracted. Let's not get sidetracked. Let's fix our eyes firmly on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And let's not let the enemy drain us of our fuel. And when we lose our fire and our heaviness sets in, let's be quick. Let's be quick to turn up the temperature, church. Let's be quick to check the thermostat, church, because it's time to get burning hot for Jesus. So as we get ready to go again, as our ministries start back again, as we begin to serve our socks off again within our church and our neighborhoods and our communities, within our own home, yes, in our own homes. Those of you, like me and Gordon, occasionally moan and groan as we stomp around the house. Or he'll say as I stomp around the house, why am I doing all this washing? Why am I having to strip all these beds on a Saturday morning on my day off? Why do I have to do all this cooking? I mean, can they not do their own cooking? We need to apply this. Because what I've done in those moments and what you've done in those moments, and I know it's you, I know you're listening to me, is you've forgotten why it is you're doing it. We do it. I am doing it. I am washing the clothes. I am cooking the dinners. I am changing the beds because I passionately love you. Because he's squirming. I passionately love them. And I need to be reminded of why it is I'm doing what I do. And when I do that, I fly through that house. I fly through that house praising God because I've reminded myself of the passion within. And as God's children, as we get ready to go for a new season, I believe God just wanted to remind us today of why it is we're running, what it is we're looking forward to, who we're running for, what our end goal is, and remind ourselves that we don't run alone, that we run with each other. So the band can come back now. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to stand together and we're going to praise and worship God. But we're going to praise and worship God like a people that are truly burning hot, on fire for Jesus. Passionate praise and worship. So let's stand together and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you, Lord, that even if we got up this morning and we had that, moment, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you led us here. We thank you, Lord God, that you are passionate about us, that you care about us, that your affection for us is boiling hot and it never changes. Because you are the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Lord, help us to not grow weary. Lord God, help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. Help us individually and as a church to continue to run the race with perseverance and endurance, because there is no better race to run than the race with you, God. And on those days when we feel that we cannot run but can only walk, let us walk with you, Jesus, knowing that you never leave us nor forsake us. Assured of the truth that you take us by the hand, Lord, and you walk with us every step. So, Father God, as we look forward to a brand new season here at Mossvale, we give you full permission, authority to work in and through it all. May you have the glory in all of it, Lord Jesus. And may we see more and more and more passionate, filled people, children of God, coming through the doors of our church to run the race with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.